My name is Patricia Prendeville, and I'm an organisational development consultant with a specialist consultancy called Equality Works, based in Ireland.
Given that this conference is taking place today at the Council of Europe, is it true to say that perhaps the European institutions are running ahead of public opinion on this issue of LGBT rights?
No, I wouldn't say that they're running ahead. I think in some countries they are. I think in other countries then they are running in parallel and even can be a little bit behind. So overall I would say they are probably taking a good balance across all of the countries. I think maybe the Council of Europe certainly would be seen to be ahead of a lot of its members, but the European Union would not, I don't think it would necessarily be. I wouldn't be able to say that it's ahead. I think it's running quite close to public opinion. I think it's quite interesting around the issue of family and same-sex couples. When people think about the actuality of same-sex couples not being recognised in countries, then the public opinion can change. Because people say, oh, that means then that my daughter's, you know, relationship is not recognised. And then people realise that it interferes at a personal level, and then the public opinion can change or can be in favour. It's interesting that public opinion can be quite in favour, even though legislators don't necessarily see that.
Is the key then to humanise this issue, to personalise it, to make people realise that they have an investment in fairness?
Well, I think it has to be a parallel process. I mean, you have to have the legal change, you have to have, like we have now from the Council of Europe, that recommendation, you have to have programmes that will bring countries up to the agreed standard. But in terms of public opinion, and then therefore in terms of influencing politicians or public representatives, I think you do have to have public information campaigns which, yes, if they are based on facts, but also humanising it. So just saying, this is the reality. This is how this law interferes with maybe your neighbour, your mother, your sister, your brother, your father. They talk about hearts and minds, but you need law, and you need then countries to conform and to behave according to the law.
Do you sense that there is a growing momentum now, a growing realisation that something needs to be done to have a level playing field in Europe?
Yes, I do think so. I mean, I was involved at a European level for 5 years, from 2004 to 2009, so I've been away from the European level for a few years. And it's interesting to have seen the developments at the Council of Europe, so the recommendation last year and now this unit. So at the Council of Europe level, I suppose I, as somebody from a distance, would see that as being very progressive. There's still an awful lot of work that still needs to be done in order to even maintain the progress that has been made. I think at the European Union level, unfortunately, there's been quite a drawback. I mean, in 2008, the Commission put forward, and in fact, it's still stuck at Council level, the horizontal anti-discrimination proposal for a new directive. That's been sitting there now for 3 years. And that's really disappointing that you know, what would have levelled up anti-discrimination protection at the European Union level, there is no political appetite for. And so I think that the argument around LGBT rights is part of the slowdown on the argument for general human rights. I think that the economic crisis is being used as an excuse against advancing the human rights agenda. People talk about human rights as if they cost something, but in fact, all of the research shows that the business case, in fact, is that your economy as well as your society benefits if you have a lot more equality, if you have strong anti-discrimination protections, if you are actually implementing the human rights treaties and standards. And it's quite interesting that the politicians don't follow that. Like, the research is there. The big international, multinational countries or companies, they all know that, and they are bringing in their policies to follow it. But somehow the legislation, and the legislators rather, are not hearing that evidence. So I think that the economic crisis has been, if you like, an opportunity for the forces against equality. Because then people then can say, oh, well, you know, we have too many other things to think about, or else equality costs. Whereas, in fact, equality pays.